In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, forever fathers, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our body.
So it's still the season of the wearing of the green in the Orthodox Church, not St. Patrick's Day, but the season of Pentecost. 2 weeks ago, Father Ed reminded us that God's powerful Spirit is absolutely quenched and doesn't do as much good if we're not focused on our own repentance. Last Sunday, we saw how totally different personalities, like Saints Peter and Paul, different educations, different inclinations, different skills, gifts, and a kind of a rocky history with each other too, managed to subordinate their differences, subordinate their personalities, lay aside their ideas, their will, their agenda, and submit themselves first of all to the love of Christ, and then to the love of one another, doing not what gratified them or made their ego puff up a little, but rather what humbled them and brought them together to serve God in a God-honoring way. And the missionary foundation of the whole New Testament church was laid by the men who did that. Today's gospel invites us to take another glimpse of the power of God's Spirit from another angle. Christ's invitation to uneducated Galilean fishermen: follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, I don't think there's anybody who's been around our church very long who hasn't heard a fish story or two from our all-star fishermen over here. His exploits, other people's. But I've never, and they're great stories, and I think they're mostly true. Maybe not quite the length of that one fish. But in all the stories, all the fish stories I heard from my relatives, my aunts and uncles and cousins back east, I never heard a story where there was any confusion as to who the fisherman was and what the bait was. Maybe someday if Lee falls over as a shark comes along, he'll be the fisherman and the bait boat. But there's never any confusion as to who the fisherman is and who the bait is. But I think in this gospel, maybe what Jesus is saying, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, really ought to be translated for us: follow me and I'll make you the bait that catches. What did he mean by follow me? I think follow his example, follow his teaching, obviously. And I boil that down for today's purposes to two things: love sacrificially, judge no one. Those are the two principles. If we could master those things, to love sacrificially, to follow Christ, and you know, sometimes he'd heal and teach, and he's just being soft. People were murmuring against him, plotting his death, opposing him, asking him stupid questions, never leaving him alone, crowding around him when he couldn't breathe. He loved sacrificially. His disciples gave him stupid answers when and were doing these little ego contests with each other, as reported in the gospel. Even sending people away when they needed to be drawn to Christ. The disciples making their mistakes. And Christ still loved sacrificially. St. Simeon, the new theologian, says, apart from love, this is an amazing quote, apart from love, nothing whatever has existed, nor ever will. Its names and actions are many. Apart from love, nothing whatever has existed, nor ever will. Its names and actions are many. Note that I'm saying love sacrificially. We can love each other from a distance, but boy, loving sacrificially, getting right in there and putting our time, our energy, our money, our ego, our agenda on the line and sacrificing it for others. Pretty tough. Jesus did it. Here's another quote, this one from Archbishop Anastasio judgment. We are judged for loving him or failing to love him in the form of the least person. We love him because he first loved us. We love other people because he first loved us. And he fills our tank with that love, and he invites us to let it leak on other people. Because he'll always keep filling if we let it leak. And then there's this refusal to judge. We follow Christ in the refusal to judge. Think of all the people, the rich young ruler who came to him, the different Pharisees that were trying to trip him up. Did he ever judge them in front of other people? No. Now he did give the Pharisees a pretty hard time. All you Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites, who wash the outside of the cup, inside that's really dirty, in fact it's rotten. He judged them as a group because he had a teaching point that he had to make. But he didn't point out to individual Pharisees or individual this or that people. He came to him, made mistakes, their faith was incomplete, they were groping, they didn't know what they were doing or saying, he didn't judge. Judge nobody. Remember the time that he came along when some very righteous people were about to murder a woman who had been caught in adultery? Did Jesus cause a kerfluffle? No. Did he jump on the people with their, and knock the stones out of their hair? Did he shield them? No. He stooped down, he wrote them in the dirt. The people watched him. And gradually they got so embarrassed. You know, they heard his message. Let him who is without sin among you cast the first stone. They got embarrassed and they left. Judge nobody. St. John Climacus says, fire and water do not mix. Neither can you mix judgment of others with the desire to repent. Remember what Father Ed taught us 2 weeks ago, that repentance is the key to the power of the Holy Spirit, the transformative blessing of the season. And St. John Climacus says, you can't mix judging other people with the desire for your own repentance. You can have one, you can have the other. You can't have them both. Don't go together. And judging people, what does it do? It focuses on their sin and not on your own. So St. John is obviously right. Jesus said, don't judge, lest you be judged. Judge other people with the same judgment that you want me to use, you want God to use on you, because that's what will happen. God will give back to us with the measure that we've measured with to other people with. Love sacrificially, judge no one. St. Maximus the Confessor said this, he who busies himself with the sins of others or judges his brother on suspicion has not yet even begun to repent or examine himself so as to discover his own sins. This is the word of God brought to us by an amazing selection of the saints. They all sing the same song. They've all got the same message. They lived it and in time. Think of some of the people who came to Jesus. People are always, and religious people are always looking for alternatives to the stark and painful simplicity of Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our focus goes just about anywhere else but that. If we manage to focus on it for a while, we get distracted by what other people are thinking or doing. The mistakes that they're repeating, the ways in which they're different from us, the ways in which their sins hit the sore spots inside of us. There's blindness. That's one of the alternatives to Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Remember the Pharisee and the publican went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee, Lord, I thank you that I am not like other people, like this guy over here. Denial, blindness, delusion. Well, there's egotism as well. Remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. He said, oh, I've kept the rules from my youth up. I fast. Keep the commandments. Jesus said to him, well, you you know, good for you, but what you need to do is sell everything and give away all your money, and then come follow me. And he couldn't let go of his egotism and his money. Remember the woman at the well, whose life was about hiding from all the mistakes that she had made, all the marriages that she had ruined, all of the women she had alienated, all of the men who had spoiled her life and whose life she had spoiled. And she sparred with Jesus on the surface. You know, we're the Samaritans, and you guys are the Jews. And Abraham gave us this well. We worshiped Mount Gerizim. You guys didn't get the well. You worshiped down at Jerusalem. We don't have any. And all the while hiding, from what she was ashamed of and what she needed to let go of. The Pharisee needed to let go of his pride. The rich young ruler needed to let go of his money. The woman at the well needed to let go of her shame. All as part, each one, as part of their repentance. And probably there are people like me who need to let go of all of this. It's part of my repentance. And then remember our friends Mary and Martha, the two sisters, who were the brothers of the sisters of Lazarus, and how different they were. And Martha was always staying busy. That's another good thing. If you want to avoid repentance, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. Staying busy, that's a great one. Martha, Martha, Jesus said, you are anxious and troubled about all these things. You forgot the most important part. Just sit at my feet and learn and listen. And do your own business. All the bustle. All your work is great, but all the bustle takes the place of walking with me and repenting. So Jesus says to us today, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. How? He wants us to be the bait. Because if people see us walking in love with people that we otherwise inclined to have friction with, if people see us forgiving, if they see us apologizing to those where there's been a sense of offense, and getting right with one another, and getting right with God, fish will be caught. Fish will be caught. Now may God give us grace to be caught by Christ and his love ourselves, and then go on to be attached to others through repentance and the power of God's Holy Spirit. Apart from love, nothing whatsoever has existed, nor ever will. Its names and actions are many. Fire and water do not mix, neither can you mix the judgment of others with the desire to repent. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.